Welcome back to the Fightcasters, the Las Vegas Suns podcast about what else? Fighting. I'm Andy Samuelson, a boxing and MMA writer, and I'm joined, as always, by Brett Okamoto. How you doing, Brett? The UFC 100 week is finally here.
I'm doing good, man. Five days away, getting butterflies probably just like the fighters are. I'm looking forward to it. Fighters arriving tomorrow in Mandalay Bay. It should be a should be fun to watch. And, you know, then we got workouts, press conference, and time for the fight on Saturday.
Yeah, I mean, I can't wait actually till Sunday. It's going to be a busy week, but actually Saturday night is going to be a lot of fun.
It is. And we've been having some fun, too, previewing this stuff. We had a long sit-down with Dana White just the other day. You know, what did you take away from that interview?
We asked him flat out, why do you do this every day? Why do you work 12-hour days? I mean, obviously, he's a multimillionaire. He's got 10% of the – he owns 10% of the UFC. Why do you do it every day? Because – he wants it to be a global sport. I mean, you can tell that his passion is unique. I mean, whether you like him or not, he's definitely gotten mixed martial arts to this point, at least in some way, shape, or form.
Well, the most interesting stuff to me that he was talking about was, I guess I didn't know that much about Dana White before the UFC. He talked about how he actually watched UFC 1 from a boxing gym because he was so involved in boxing. He was actually going to be a boxing promoter, or I mean...
He was there for a while.
A boxing promoter for a little bit. So he watches UFC 1 from a gym, and I just, when he said that, I kind of thought of like, man, that's got to be trippy, kind of thinking about you're in a gym in Boston watching UFC 1, and then, you know, you have no idea years down the road you're going to be president of the company, but... interesting stuff from Dana White, and he's got an interesting view because he was so involved in that boxing world, and now he's with UFC. And one of the things that he talked about was comparing the two, and he had an interesting take on boxing that I wasn't expecting.
My philosophy has been since the day we started this company is, you know, one of the horrible things again, boxing is my blueprint. You got this one main event, and then the rest of the card nobody cares about. Doesn't even get promoted. Nobody even talks about the undercards. We've been in positions before where our undercard fights have overshadowed our main events, you know. And we the other thing is, if you've ever been to a boxing match, because they build their cards that way, people don't show up till like 5 minutes before the main event is about to start. So the rest of the night, nobody's even there watching these other fights happen. And you come to a UFC event at 5:15, the first fight of the night. Before we, you know, we're still hours before we go on television. The arena is 75% full. Even celebrities are in their seats at that time to see all the fights.
Yeah, obviously, that was Dana White talking about the differences between the two or what he thought was wrong with boxing. You definitely, I agree with him on the stackness of a card. I mean, he's right. Some of the undercard fights are much better than even main events. And even though Ricky Hatton and Manny Pacquiao, I mean, it was a great fight. It only lasted a round and a half, you know. So if you're paying $50, just in this economy, you're probably going to order the UFC before boxing.
Yeah, you know, I mean, from your personal standpoint, I mean, which side are you on? Because, you know, you have the UFC guys who are constantly saying, oh, boxing is this, you know, this creature of the past. It refuses to change, you know, like we already said. One main event per card, and then now the UFC brings in all these cards, and boxing's answer to that is, oh, well, you know, you're still just an entertainment kind of thing. You're like a freak show kind of thing. No holds, you know, no
WWE
rules.
Professional wrestling.
Exactly. So what do you think about that?
I'm definitely going to have to say that I think mixed martial arts is a lot more exciting, but when the stars align and they're kind of few and far between, when you get the Pacquiao De La Hoya, there's just an energy that, while it is there in mixed martial arts, it's just a little different, you know. It's just a different prize fighting. And I don't think it's very long till that. I mean, you can't say that it's not there in UFC 2. It's just a little different.
Well, the only way to measure what really everybody thinks about that is pay-per-view buys. And taking a look at the numbers, the highest grossing fight ever in boxing history as far as pay-per-view buys go is Oscar De La Hoya, Floyd Mayweather Jr. in 2007. I actually remember I was a college student. I did buy that fight. I watched it, and that was 2.4 million buys. To put that in perspective, if you guys are wondering about, you know, what Manny Pacquiao does, Manny Pacquiao's fight with Oscar De La Hoya the following year in 2008 was 1.25 million buys. So a big step up in that 2.4 million. You know, you kind of get the perception that UFC has taken this huge step, but really they're not there as far as 2.4 million pay-per-view buys.
No, and they're not even predicting it for this card. They're looking for 1.3 million. Obviously, that would be their record, which is currently UFC 92, priced somewhere in the 1.1, 1.2. I mean, we don't know the exact numbers, but it overtook UFC 66. And I think it's just a number of time and another couple stack cards before you see that. It might take something where it's an overseas event that's really big and a 30,000 seat coliseum or something like that to make that mark.
Well, it's also what context you take it in, because UFC has a lot more events than boxing does per year. You know, I mean, you're talking about just in this short period, we have UFC 100, then we have 101 and 102 in August. So if you add them all up, maybe UFC is ahead of them. I think they did actually pass them in 2006 as the highest grossing pay-per-view.
Yeah, it was 222 million. They beat wrestling and, I mean, don't keep wrestling out of it too. I mean, they make a lot of money. But I think that's the toughest thing that UFC's had to try to get away from, was distance itself from being a real sport.
Well, it'll be an exciting thing to keep an eye on, because with UFC 100 on the horizon, that's just one thing we've kept an eye on, is you know, those kinds of business aspects of it. And it'll be interesting to see how much UFC continues to grow. 1.3 million, I mean, they'd be real happy with that number. You know, maybe 5 years down the road, they'll be real happy with 2 million. The sky's the limit. So be interesting to keep an eye on. As far as the actual fighting goes, Let's go ahead and jump into that.
Well, let's go to Fan Expo too, because that's the first time ever this is going to happen on Friday and Saturday. Friday, 10 a.m. to 7 p.m. at Mandalay Bay. I think there's still a few tickets left. 5:30 after the weigh-in, Dana White's going to give his keynote speech, so I'm sure that's going to be pretty colorful as always. Although, when we talked to him, he's pretty clean. Didn't you think?
Yeah.
I mean, he didn't drop a lot of F-bombs or anything unusual.
I think it's one of those things where it's whatever day you catch him on.
And then from Saturday, it's 10 to 4 with Lorenzo Fertitta talking at 11 a.m. You have the Octagon Girl contest in the afternoon, and then obviously that night's the fights. You know, tons of fighters there. Liddell, Couture, Forrest, Machida, Rampage, Rashad, Vanderlei, Miguel Torres. I think even Royce Gracie's going to be there. So just
everybody. If you've got a favorite fighter, he will be there.
It should be a very fun event for the fans. And that really, I think, is the difference in my mind between boxing and UFC, is UFC, the fighters are so approachable, and it really seems like they care about their fans. Whereas, let's face it, even our brief time with boxers, they're cool in individual settings, but you know, some of them are very different. They're not that open to their fans.
Yep, I agree, and that's something the fighters will even say themselves. Rashad Evans actually told me a funny story. He was in Las Vegas at the same time as Antonio Tarver, who fought Chad Dawson just 2 months ago. And Rashad Evans goes up to try and meet Antonio Tarver, shake his hand. Antonio Tarver's like, "Hey, man, don't you see him on my cell phone? Get out of here." And Rashad Evans, it was kind of funny when he was talking about it. He's like, "Oh, okay."
You can't roll up on Mason the Dixon line or Mason the line Dixon like that?
I guess not, dude. I guess not. I mean, I thought he was just mean to me. I guess he's mean to everybody if he's mean to the former light heavyweight champion of UFC. So,
but yeah, let's get right into the fights. The big three. First one, Dan Henderson, Michael Bisping. Bisping's been talking a lot how he feels disrespected. He's only got the one loss to Rashad. How do you see that one?
I see Henderson winning this one. A lot of the people I've talked to, I've been trying to get together some predictions from some of the fighters, which will actually be on our website on Friday if you guys want to take a look at that. But a lot of people believe in Henderson in this fight. He's the more complete package. He's got the powerful right hand to compete with Bisping's stand-up. And then he was a former Olympic wrestler. I mean, the guy is capable of taking Bisping to the ground, controlling him. If it goes the distance, I definitely see, Henderson taking advantage. Don't get me wrong, Bisping can knock him out, but I'm going to take Hendo on that one. What do you think?
Yeah, I definitely like Henderson too. Just, I think he's a little more experienced. You saw that, you know, against Rich Franklin in their last fight, or in their fight. But, Bisping, I mean, if he does win, that really opens up some of this global continued growth for the UFC, with the success of the last Ultimate Fighter. I'm sure they will move quickly to get a card. I think they're already talking UFC 105 in Manchester. So it would be beneficial probably if Bisping won for the UFC, but I think Henderson's kind of the fan favorite. I mean, he's just a great guy.
And then moving along with, just the best night of fighting that comes to mind, you got another explosive dynamite fight with GSP and Thiago Alves. I already know we're going to disagree on this one. I'll let you state your case first.
Well, I'm going to have to go with the champ. I think he's just too tough, and he's a smart fighter. He doesn't, he got knocked out by Sarah, but that was kind of one of those fluke things that anything can happen. He just definitely, I'm not saying that Alves is not a dominant striker, but Alves also is going to have to make some weight. You know, he's had some trouble in the past just getting there. I don't think that'll be, you don't get to this point and have those mistakes, but it should be a good fight. I think it actually might be a little boring. I think it could be a lot of GSP just taking him down, controlling the guard, you know, kind of trying to tire him out like he did BJ in his last one.
Well, I feel like I'm standing alone on my side of the line in the sand, but I am going to go with Alves, and the reason is, I mean, GSP is probably the superior fighter, and if you ask me if I think Alves is gonna beat GSP and then defend his title 9 times, no, I don't believe that. I mean, I think Alves is going to get beat. I don't think he's the new coming or anything, but I think he presents a problem with his takedown defense and his explosive power. I mean, we saw with GSP how Matt Serra was able to hit him with his heavy hands, you know, take that win from him, and then even with the BJ Penn fight. The first one where he kind of caught him there in the beginning. I know there was an eye poke, but then he hit him in the nose, and it just kind of set the tone for the fight. GSP came back, and, you know, he's a champion, and he came back and ended up winning that fight. But he's shown that his chin is a little suspect. And one wrong takedown move, Alves is going to catch him. And it'll be interesting to see. I'm looking forward to seeing Alves in person, seeing what he looks like, if he's going to be able to make that weight, if he looks, you know, like he's comfortable at the weight. But like I said, I think I'm the only one, but I'm going to take Alves in an upset. And if you guys like to gamble, I don't. I don't think you do either.
Not at all.
I like to hang on to my money, but Alves is a +260 last time I looked, and that's a great bet. I mean, how can you not bet on an explosive fighter like that with a +260?
Hey, are the Rockies covering that run line yet tonight?
I have no idea. I haven't had a chance to check it out. But
and then the final fight, obviously, we have Frank Mir, Las Vegas native, the hometown interim heavyweight champ against... the man child, the beast, whatever you want to call him, Brock Lesnar, UFC heavyweight champ, just a massive human. I've been right next to him, and he kind of got mad and walked out, and I was a little nervous there for a second, not going to lie.
Any man who tattoos a sword down the front of his chest is just has got to be a warrior, and I think we're going to be on opposite sides of this one, too, but I'm going to go with Frank Lesnar. I think
Frank Lesnar there?
I'm sorry, Brock Lesnar. I'm going to be going with Brock Lesnar. I just think that his size poses too much of a problem, really, for almost anybody. Mir was in trouble in that first fight. Got him with a submission. And, you know, some people watch that fight and they're like, wow, why doesn't everybody who's on the ground in that position just grab the guy's leg and twist it? Well, it's because people don't usually find themselves in that position. They have submission defense. They can get away from it. Brock was inexperienced. He got caught with it. I don't see that happening again. I see Brock winning this one.
And you know,
and
a lot of people were upset.
Second round.
Yeah, sorry about that. A lot of people were upset with the restart in that fight, the hit behind the head, and think that, you know, because Lesnar was definitely doing some damage. And just his sheer size, what he did to Couture. I think, you know, Mir was talking about this. His arms are a lot, you know, he's 6'3", but his reach is so massive, and they kind of just keep coming. And so you take it. I think if it's going to end early, I'd see it. Lesnar just... first round, first minute, just some power punches. But I do think if he makes a mistake, and he's still, you know, four fights into a relatively inexperienced as far as, you know, certain aspects. I'm not saying he's not going to be much improved, because he definitely believes so, and so does Mir. I think he could get caught in a certain situation. But you also have to wonder about Mir's stand-up game, because he put on a clinic against Nogueira. Nogueira had never been knocked out. And, I mean, that was kind of like the Pacquiao fight, where he floored him a couple times in the first, and then just ended it in the second.
So bottom line, who are you taking? I don't think we even got a prediction after you
I'll take Mir. I like Mir. I like the hometown guy. And a good story, you know, coming all the way back from the devastating motorcycle wreck. But I would not be surprised if Lesnar wins it. I think he hangs on to that, like Machida, for a while.
Yeah. Here's a clip from a real expert on the matter, Kenny Florian. He's the top lightweight contender. Here's what he thinks about all three fights.
Ken Henderson, I think, is the more of a power puncher. But I think Bisping has the better overall stand-up skills. I think he's a little bit more technical when it comes to feet. The wrestling advantage, you have to give to Dan Henderson. He's a beast in the clinch, and he's a grinder. He's very good at grinding out decisions, and he also has a big right hand that he can take you out with. So I think if Bisping can avoid the big right hand of Dan Henderson and use his footwork and kind of keep himself off the mat, I think Bisping can win this fight. You know, I think this is going to be George St. Pierre's toughest fight. You know, Thiago Alves is an absolute beast. I think he's on top of his game right now. Has a lot of momentum going into this fight. George St. Pierre has, you know, proved himself time and time again as the best welterweight in the world. I think he has probably the best camp in the world right now. And I think that, you know, what he did to prepare for this fight is tremendous. I think he's going to be ready. I know Thiago's trained very, very hard. I think it's going to be a tough, tough fight for whoever gets the win. But, you know, for this one, I think I'm definitely leaning towards George St. Pierre. He's just you know, firing all cylinders right now, and I think he's too smart of a fighter to lose this fight. Lesnar is just improving left and right. I mean, he's got to be riding on it high in his confidence, taking out a legend, Randy Couture. Mir is really, you know, still, and you know, not a small heavyweight, but compared to Lesnar, everyone's a small heavyweight.
Yeah.
And you know, giving up the size and power is going to be tough for him to overcome. I think Lesnar is going to be very careful when he gets on the mat with Mir. He has to be very careful there. And on the feet, Lesnar's reach poses a problem, but I think Mir is the more technical fighter on the feet. I think he's got the better submissions. Lesnar obviously has the better wrestling. He's got the power and strength advantage. So it's a very, very interesting fight.
All right. Well, that was a lightweight Kenny Florian from Massachusetts. They're trying to legalize it up there. That's probably going to happen. Talked to UFC Vice President of Regulatory Affairs, Mark Radner, and he said, you know, they're still going to try to get New York done by the end of the year. But they're definitely going to get New York and Massachusetts next year. But I think that's going to do it for this first of two episodes this week of the Fightcasters. Brett, anything else?
Nothing. Tune back in on Friday, and we'll hit the previews a little harder. We'll give you some clips of what the guys have been saying leading up to the fights.
All right, well, that's going to do it for the Fightcasters at LasVegasSun.com. Thank you.